Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
And good morning to you. We're thrilled that you've made it this morning to Christian Heritage Church. And we have had a couple of real good services this morning already. And I've got good news. Pastor Jody had said there was 83 that had given their heart to Jesus here through the ministry of the church in 2021. But last service, we added a number to that. There's 84 now. Would you give God praise for that? Amen. Amen. 84. So we're excited about that. I also wanted just to share with you that, again, remember Mother's Day next week. And this aspect you may not realize, but Mother's Day is the second most attended Sunday of the year. And that's not just here, but that's what most people that study those things say in the United States. Mother's Day, second only to Easter. And so what we need to recognize about that is that as a mother, if you have children or grandchildren that don't know the Lord, there's a great opportunity for you to invite them to church with you next week, because that may be the Sunday their life has changed or transformed, and what you've been praying about for years could come to pass. And so I want to encourage you. And also, you're here, maybe your mother is not in church and your mother doesn't know the Lord. Invite her to come with you. Take her out to eat after church. But you know what? Something spiritual may happen in her that will change her life for eternity. So I want us to, it's very important. Also, you may have neighbors, people around you that on next Sunday they would come to church to celebrate Mother's Day. So we just want to do that. I hear there's going to be like a parfait bar for all of our women, like in the cafe next Sunday, stuff like that. There's going to be some fun things going on as well. So just remember that when you come, you might want to visit before church time starts and go by the Connection Center as well next week. But we're thrilled that you're here today. We're missing 49 of our ladies have gone to Women of Joy conference at Myrtle Beach this weekend. So they'll be traveling back this afternoon. So pray for them, the traveling mercies, that they'll be back here. But we're thrilled that you have come this morning. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. That's where we will start today. Hebrews chapter 12. We started there last week as well. Hebrews chapter 12. We're looking at verses 1 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Now, as we prepare ourselves to read that, chapter 11, you'll recall, is a chapter where we a lot of times refer to it as that Faith Hall of Fame, where we read over and over again. It says by faith, and it mentions many incredible characters of scriptures, both men and women, who have been able to set examples for us by clinging to God by faith. And they've endured hardship. They've endured trials and tribulations. And they have set forth an example for us that we also can endure no matter what we may face. And so then when we get through with that by faith chapter and understand that, then we enter chapter 12. Notice this, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. It's just telling us all those people we just read about in chapter 11, they have set the pace for us. They've endured. They persevered. They didn't give up on the faith. And here it shows us why. It says here, it tells us then, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then I love this, because I don't want to skip this part, because it's very key for us understanding things as believers. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to turn this morning with me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, if you'll just go ahead and begin to turn there, we want to share from this particular book today. In fact, if you will go to Obadiah, it's the next book. So everybody knows where Obadiah is, it'll be easy to find Jonah. Or if you know where Nahum is, just back up a little bit, I guess. Let's see here. Actually, Micah's right behind it. So if you get to Micah, just turn left, or Obadiah, turn right, and you'll be in good shape right there. In fact, if you got a Bible that is identical to mine, it's on page 1251. Jonah. We've been talking about various characters of scriptures and lessons we can learn from their life. And I don't know if you've enjoyed it near as much as I have, because it's been exciting for me. It's just like the Bible just comes alive again and again as we read the Word of God and study these characters of scripture. And I believe God's got something he wants to teach us this morning and show us. So I want just ask the person next to you, say, are you going to pay attention? Because you need to pay attention. Just tell them. Just go ahead and be real to them. We're transparent in this room. Let's pay attention now. Okay. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. He was fast asleep. I want to share with you a message that I've titled Escaping Bad Decisions. Escaping Bad Decisions. So now we're calling for transparency in this room. If you've ever made a bad decision, raise your hand. All right, look around, see who's lying. No. Everybody in here has made a bad decision at some point or another. Everybody. And the truth of the matter is, those bad decisions, they're weighed in different ways. Some bad decisions we might have made was over what we had eaten or something, you know, and that carries on maybe something along those lines. Or it could be that the one person I saw one time that had tattooed their girlfriend's name up above their collar underneath their ear right here, but they're no longer their girlfriend. That's a bad decision. But the truth of the matter is, bad decisions that I'm talking about today are decisions that really affect eternity. I'm talking about decisions that impact family. Bad decisions that impact marriages. Bad decisions that impact spiritual lives. Bad decisions that really just impact a whole lot of people around us. And today, I believe that God wants to show us some things about escaping some bad decisions. And so I want us to look at the story and life of Jonah today. Now, we notice that Jonah has been called by the Lord. Remember this, Jonah is a Jewish prophet. And he's been called by God to go to Nineveh. Nineveh is in the land of Assyria in biblical times. In fact, just so that we can get our geography today, Assyria and the city of Nineveh is located in what we know as modern day Iraq. And over the last 30 years, because of war and various military things that the United States has been involved in and the world has been involved in, we know too well that the geography of that part of the world. But this is where Nineveh was in modern day northern Iraq. Now, what we've got to understand here is that Assyria was a pagan people, meaning they did not follow Jehovah God. And furthermore, they were constantly battling and coming against and attacking the people of Israel, the people of God. It was over and over. So in a lot of ways, we could say, in those biblical times, they were very much terrorists in their own right in terms of how they would treat Israel. And they would take Israelis and Jewish people captive and treat them horrible. They were vicious toward them. And here in this particular story, we find that Jonah is being called to go and preach the word of God to the Ninevites. That's what God's design and desire was for him to do. But Jonah did not like them people. He despised them. So much so that preacher Jonah said, "I'm not going up there." Now, and that tells me a lot about Jonah's faith, because Jonah said, if I go up there and preach the word, they're going to get straightened out. So that lets you know that Jonah believed God's word. And he believed if he went and preached God's word, that this crowd of Ninevites will get right with God. But he so despised the Ninevites, so despised these people that had been an enemy to the Jewish people, that he didn't want to go. And guess what? He made up his mind he wouldn't. And he decided, in fact, he would go in the opposite direction of where the Nineveh was. In fact, it goes on to say that he was fleeing the presence of God. He just did not want to do what God wanted him to do, and decided, I'm going in the opposite direction. So here we got. From where Jonah was, it was northeast to Nineveh. But instead of going northeast to Nineveh, he went southwest to Tarshish, which was on the coast of Spain. So just picture it now. Instead of northeast, he flew with southwest in the exact opposite direction. He was intent on not doing this thing There was bitterness in his heart, no doubt. There was something going on there. He did not want any part of this evangelistic missionary campaign to Nineveh. Well, the Bible says that he entered a ship in Joppa that would take him to Tarshish. He entered that ship, and upon entering that ship and getting on there and them getting out into the open waters, a great storm came. Now, we find this great tempest, and it's really a picture, and we understand that this is a storm that is not a natural storm. And what's interesting about this, the mariners, the seamen that were on this ship, even though they were serving foreign gods, and they actually prayed and called out to their gods, not the God of Jehovah, these men understood this was a spiritual storm. They understood that there was something going on here that was beyond what they could understand in the natural. Now, and I want us just to picture Jonah on this ship, him heading in the wrong direction from God, him going southwest instead of northeast. You see, he was making a decision that was bad. He was making a decision to go in rebellion against God. And I want to just tell us today in this room, when we make bad decisions, it not only impacts our life, but it impacts the lives of people around us. See, what we see here is that the storm was so tempestuous. The storm was so terrible that the ship was beginning to come apart, the scripture says. And so much so that they believe they're going to lose their life. And these mariners begin to throw their cargo and what they have overboard. Notice this, their life is being affected. And because what we're about to find out is this, is that this was brought on by the rebellion of Jonah. That's what the scripture says, and that's clear to us. And so his bad decision is affecting their lives. And so what we've got to remember always, that our bad decisions regarding a life impact, it impacts marriages, it impacts children. It impacts people we work with on our jobs. It just has far-reaching effects in our life. And many times when it involves sin, it affects people for eternity. But it impacts lives. And sometimes people will say, well, I'm not hurting anybody by what I'm doing. Listen here. We find that Jonah was in the bottom of this ship asleep. Now, all this is going on. Jonah, this rebellious prophet, is asleep. And interestingly enough, in life, a lot of times, we are unconscious to the impact we're having on other people's lives. Too many times, we're asleep to the reality that our wife is being harmed or our children are being affected by the way we're living. Or young people are unaware of how they are affecting their parents and their grandparents. And we're unaware and asleep to how we're impacting our attitudes and other things that might be going on far worse are impacting those that we work with and those we associate with and our neighbors and whatever the case may be. Or our fellow church members. We do not live in isolation. Everybody impacts somebody else in some way, but too often are asleep and unconscious to the realities of their decisions and what is going on. And so today I want to just share with you several lessons from this particular story here that we find in the life of Jonah. And I want us to talk about how that we can escape from bad decisions and how we can really recover in the midst of bad decision making. And the first thing I want you to notice is this, and it's these words: take responsibility if you want to escape bad decisions. I want you to look at verse 12 of Jonah chapter 1. Jonah said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." I said that Jonah, in the midst of this storm, was in the bottom of the boat asleep. They already had thrown their cargo overboard. The ship was breaking up. Their life was at stake. These mariners, who were experienced guys out on the water, were in fear for their life. And they've already been calling out to these false gods, trying to figure out what was going on. But in the midst of all of this, they began to look within, saying, "Who's causing this storm? This is not natural." And the lot fell upon Jonah, the Bible says, that they realized this man is the problem. There's something going on in this man's life that's a problem. And the truth of the matter is, he already had declared that he was running from the presence of God. And so it was obvious to them that this Jonah was the problem. But too often, things that are obvious, we won't own up to. Too many times, things that are obvious and things we know we've done, we don't want to own it. But verse 12 says that Jonah said, "Guys, I'm the problem. You and I, if we want to escape bad problems, if you and I want to see a turnaround in our life, we've got to be willing to take responsibility. We've got to be willing to own up to our mistakes. We got to be willing to own up to our sin." And I want you to see this. Proverbs chapter 28, I believe it's verse 13. Proverbs 28 and 13. It says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper." You see that? "But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." So let's look at it again. He who covers his sins, he who covers his bad decisions, he who covers his bad choices, he who covers his sins, those things that are in rebellion against God, those things are the opposite of God's will not prosper. May we know today, when we are not doing what God would have us to do, we are not going to prosper. The word of God is clear about this. And furthermore, whoever confesses and forsakes his sin will find mercy. We need mercy today, amen? We need mercy in our life. And I want to tell you, rebellion, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft. And what this preacher was doing was really demonic in origin. Everything about what this man Jonah, this prophet, was doing was against God and in rebellion against God. He was spitting in the face of God. And God was not going to tolerate what was happening. He wasn't just going to let it go for this man. But may we understand that we must take responsibility if we want to escape the bad decisions and the sins we commit. We must take responsibility. Now, I want you just to see this picture now. Here in verse 12, he says, "Throw me overboard." Now, I have to give these mariners credit, because they did not immediately throw him overboard. They tried not to. But the prophet of God, they were going to lose their life. They were all about to lose their life. And the only way they could in any way spare their life was to obey what the prophet said and throw him overboard. Because he told them, "If you throw me over the board, the seas will become calm again. The tempest will cease if you'll just throw me overboard." He knew it. And so they did as he said. They threw him overboard. Now, the beautiful thing that we see here in the book of Jonah and in his story is that at the climax of rebellion, at the climax of his wrong decisions, God had prepared a rescue. God had prepared a way for him to escape. God had prepared a turnaround for him. And so when he was thrown overboard, the Bible says that God had prepared a great fish. And this fish swallowed Jonah. Thank God it didn't chew him up, but swallowed Jonah. Now, listen to me now. There's people in our day that don't believe stories like this. There's people in our day, there's preachers that will stand in churches today and talk about this story, and they'll talk about it being really an illustration of what God's trying to teach us. It didn't really happen. It's an allegory, and they'll go down their list. I want to tell you today, and may everybody be in this room convinced of it, this happened. Have you ever been to SeaWorld or somewhere and saw some of the fish that are in the ocean? Some of the great, a whale's a mammal, so it the animals that are in the ocean. I mean, vast. I mean, some of them look like you could put a bus inside of them. They're huge. But this actually happened. He was swallowed by a whale. Now, I want to just tell you something. We should believe that it happened just because the Word of God said it. That's how we convince we should be. But I want to tell you something else. If Jesus said it happened, will you believe it then? Well, Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus said it happened. He said, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, that the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. If it's not more real, if we don't believe it's real now, what do we believe? Okay? This actually happened. And so we see here that, and the second thing that I want to mention here in this story, not only if we want to escape bad decisions do we need to take responsibility, but secondly, we need to repent and turn around from the direction we're going in. Repent and turn around. In the second chapter of Jonah, we basically are reading the prayer of Jonah inside of the whale. While he's in the whale, we see him talking to God. And when we get to the 9th verse of chapter 2, he says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What this means when he's talking about I will pay the vow, he's saying, I understand your calling upon my life, and I understand that you have called me to Nineveh, and I'm going to do what I know that I've been called to do. I'm going to fulfill the calling that you have on my life, and I'm going to go to Nineveh. I know that salvation is of the Lord. And so great fish vomited, that's a great word right before lunch, vomited this prophet, this rebellious prophet out on the land, when he vomited him out, there it was that we would see Jonah as he would set out going northeast. No longer is he going southwest, But when the great fish vomited him out on the land, he started going northeast. You and I must know that we must repent. Listen, that's what was going. It's actually literally that. You're going, instead of going southwest, you're going the opposite direction, northeast. That's what repentance means. It means I can't go, when I repent of my sins, I can't just keep going down the same pathway of sin. But God is calling me to go in the direction of fellowship of Him, in the direction of His will, in the direction of His plan for my life, in the direction of righteousness, not unrighteousness, in the direction of holiness, not in ungodly living, in the direction of salvation, in the direction of deliverance, in the direction of healing, in the direction of His touch, in the direction of His power, in the direction of life that is abundant, a direction that will set myself on a course of fulfilling His plan and purpose for my life. We must repent and follow Him. So that's what we see. If we want to escape bad decisions, we have to take responsibility and then repent and turn around and follow God. Now, the enemy would like nothing more. He would like nothing more than to get us to think that we're disqualified. He would want us to think that there's no hope for us. He wants us to think that because of the bad decisions we've made and the mistakes we've made yesterday, maybe even this morning, the mistakes that we made within our marriage, the mistakes we've made financially, the mistakes that we've made in parenting, the mistakes we've made vocationally, the mistakes that we've made educationally, the mistakes that we've made, most importantly, spiritually, He wants us to think that there's no hope for us and we might as well give up. But may we know today that our God, when we come to Him and repent, when we turn from our way and go in His way, we can be confident in that. I love what Hebrews 4:16 says, that we can boldly approach God's throne and we can find grace to help us in our time of need. I love this because we need to understand that when we come in need of Him, when we stand in need of Him, but if we're turning, if we repent of our sins, we can count on a God that will hear us. Now, the problem is when we just go to praying randomly but refuse to repent. And I want to tell you, we don't have an open access to God's throne if we're living in rebellion. It's when we repent. When we repent, it opens up a floodgate for us as our one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, then gives us access to the Father. And so I want to tell you today, come to Him. But as believers, please know you can boldly approach the throne of grace always. But He wants us to be bent toward Him and have an attitude toward following Him and obeying Him. Now, I just love Romans 8:1 because the enemy, again, will try to get us to think that there's no hope for us, but there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There's no more condemnation. Listen, he's wanting us to understand when we come, he's not standing over us and trying to beat us down. That's what the enemy seeks to do. But I want to tell you, a God who loves you, he wants you to understand that he's not holding yesterday against you. He's not holding last night against you. He's saying, if you'll come to me, you will find in me strength. And I want to tell you furthermore, we need to not walk after the flesh, the scripture says, but walk after the Spirit. That's how we are to live our life when we come to Him and repent. We're to come following Him and being led by the Spirit of God and in the strength of the Spirit, not just satisfying what this old flesh wants. So we see this man, Jonah, this morning. He taking responsibility for his life. He's taking responsibility for his actions and wrong decisions. He has repented and turned around. And now he is going to march toward fulfilling God's will for his life and go to Nineveh. Now, I want you just to see here, because this is beautiful, because it really points to the third thing I want to mention here in Romans, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I want to just tell you, this is beautiful right here. Because the word of the Lord is what it was going to take to do anything good in Nineveh. It was going to require the word of the Lord. But I want to just tell you, he was in a position where he probably was wondering, God, will you ever use me again? But I want to tell you, when it says he came a second time, we need to get excited about that, because he is a God of the second chances. Would you say amen to that? But I'll tell you furthermore than that, he's a God of another chance. Because there's not a person in here that's only had two chances. We have had chance after chance after chance after chance, but you and I do not need to take those chances for granted. We need to make sure that we will live in the chance that we're in right now, where God has given us an opportunity right now, that we'll make sure that we'll follow Him from this day forward. That's what kind of opportunity that is before us today. But I love this. The word of the Lord came a second time. And what I see here is this, is that not only do we take responsibility if we want to escape our bad decisions, not only do we repent and turn away from our sin and turn to God, but we need to embrace God's grace. We need to embrace God's grace, because when it says the word came to him a second time, that's really the grace of God. God could have said, listen, son, you're going in rebellion, have at it. But no, he's a God of grace. You remember what the 28th chapter of Proverbs said, verse 13? When you cover a sin, you'll not prosper. But if you'll confess it, that he will show you mercy. And that's what we see happening here in this passage. We see mercy and grace being extended to Jonah. Grace and mercy. John Maxwell made this statement. He said, grace always runs downhill. He said, when I met grace, I was at the bottom, not the top. And you and I know that to be true. It was grace. We met grace at the bottom, not the top. And the very word grace means condescending favor, meaning that God reaches down to us. He condescends. He descends to our level, and he lifts us up from where we are, because his grace runs downhill to where we are, and he picks us up. You see, we need to embrace God's grace today. We need to embrace his grace and embrace his mercy that he has extended to us, because that's our only hope today. And Jesus has accomplished that when he, despising the shame, endured the cross and took upon himself our sin. He was embracing us. He was showing us mercy. He was showing us that love. And may we understand today that's what he extends and offers to you and I, his people today. I was reading about John Newton. And anytime you read something of somebody's life from a long time ago, sometimes some stories start evolving, then you don't know exactly how it might have happened. But historically, John Newton was raised by his mother the first 7 years of his life, and she was a Puritan Christian woman. She had no doubt taught him the things of God, the things of Christ. But at her passing, when he was 7 years old, he was raised by his father. He was a man that lived out at sea, just kind of a rough lifestyle that he really grew up in. John Newton became a slave trader and slave owner, where he was involved in that whole slave industry out of Europe and really living a life that was anything but a godly Christian life. But he had some truth poured into him in his formative years, and I'm sure there was others that had come along at various times and planted seeds and brought him to a place where he was reminded of God's grace. But it is said in the story that somewhere along the journey, when he came came to the realization of his life that things needed to change, and historically, John Newton became a person against slavery and began to do things that were for the abolishing of slavery all in Great Britain and also into the Americas as well. But it is said that John Newton, he would often hear in those days where those that were in slavery, they would hum a tune. They would actually just hum. With no words, and he would hear them humming. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sing that with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You see, we've got to embrace the grace of the Lord. It runs downhill right to where we are at our point of need. Now, let me just tell you something. This is incredible. Jonah, he preached to the Ninevites. Listen to this now. The whole city of 120,000 people got saved. All of them. The whole city got saved. It's mind-boggling to think of it, isn't it? It's wild. I mean, it was amazing. 120,000 persons that could not discern between their right hand and their left. Spiritually, they didn't have any discernment. But those 120,000 people were saved, turned to righteousness, turned to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They turn to Jehovah. That's wonderful. In fact, he escaped his bad decision. But listen to me. That's not the end of the story. And I want to tell you today, just because you may be saved it's not the end of your story either. Because he's still working on us. Y'all have heard me sing that more than you want to hear it. But he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Kids under construction. Maybe the paint is still wet. That's how I feel so much. Paint's still wet. He's still working on this construction project, you see. Jonah had other issues. Yes, he repented. Yes, he was again used by God. But when we read chapters 4 and 5 of Jonah, can I tell you something? The preacher was mad that all of them got saved. You say, what? He was ticked off. Because that was why he didn't want to go to start with. He didn't like them people. But he knew if he preached the word, they liable to get saved. I don't want to go. He went up there and preached. They all got saved. Not a handful. They all got saved by the grace of God. And he was mad at God. In fact, he was depressed about it. Disillusioned by it. Let me just tell you something. Jonah was prejudiced. Jonah had bitterness toward those people. He didn't like them. But I want to tell you what the fourth and fifth chapters of Jonah tell us. God didn't like that prejudice. God didn't like that bitterness. And God taught him another lesson. And there's a New Testament word called sanctification. It means, it's a work that God does within our life after we get saved. Because guess what? After you get saved, don't mean you ain't got no problems. Anybody say amen to that? But it does not mean that God's satisfied with us staying that way. In fact, the Bible says you're sanctified by the truth. He said, my word is truth. And that same work of sanctification is done by the Holy Spirit of God in our life, taking the word of God in our life. And so it is that he desires us to understand that just because we've repented of our sins and we say we're saved, he's not satisfied if we have unholy, unrighteous things in our life. He wants to change us. He wants to sanctify us and set us apart for his glory. And that's what he wants to do in our life. Listen, let him keep working on you and making you what he wants you to be. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.